Can you talk a little bit more about what the test actually is and why it's different in terms of the way it was developed?
I think the test is brilliantly conceived because it is something that really cuts to the quick. I'm tired of looking at these huge 40,000 gene arrays. It takes me back to the whole reason why we put together Adjuvant Online. It's nice to be impressed by complexity, but for those of us who are sitting in offices, we want to know what to do. We know that all 40,000 genes aren't important. There's lots of studies that show that. And so we'd like to know what subset of genes might help. And the developers of the Oncotype DX test went through a process of gene selection, but they didn't actually use all 40,000 genes. They used genes that seemed to make sense to them, genes that were involved in proliferation, genes that were involved in the estrogen receptor and related pathways, genes that were related to HER2 and related pathways, genes that were involved in invasiveness of tumors. And they winnowed a set of genes down of, I think it was around 200, down to the 16 that they now use. So one might predict that those genes would be good genes for evaluating. The next part of what they did was, I think, truly the path to their success. And that is, rather than look at small data sets, we so often see promising results to be developed in the future from, they went right to a major cooperative group data bank, the SABP, that had long-term follow-up on patients that had been randomized into trials. That allows you to basically have a subset of patients who were treated with something and not treated with something. And so you could actually look not only at prognosis, but you could also look at whether or not the test seemed to predict treatment effect. They've done now a series of papers based on NSABP B14 and NSABP B20, one of them looking at whether or not tamoxifen improved outcome, which of course it does, and the other study looking at whether or not if you're taking tamoxifen, if CMF improves outcome. So that's how they developed the test, and the test is actually right now marketed with a claim that it predicts prognosis. But I would not be surprised on the basis of the publication that they start actually marketing it with the claim that it also predicts the effectiveness of chemotherapy. There's one really important caveat, or a couple here, about the test. We don't use CMF very much today. And there's ongoing studies looking at whether or not it's as good a predictor for other therapies. I think it will be, but I'm going to be reassured when those results become available. The other thing to say is that it's really been developed in patients who were treated with tamoxifen, because, of course, those are the patients that was the therapy we were using 10 years ago. And I've heard that they're working in collaboration with some of the groups that have tested aromatase inhibitors to look at the predictive ability for who benefits from aromatase inhibitors. I would expect that to be similar to tamoxifen, but there might be differences, and that could be interesting.